race. How old is he?
He's old. Second time he's running it.
Okay, so he's not a newbie on this race. He's of course he's run Crow Pass too, hasn't he? Crow Pass from Girdwood over to Palmer through the mountain passes and so on, where you got to run away from moose and bear and cross rivers and all kinds of stuff. So, Lord bless him. You know, when you think about those races, it reminds us of Paul saying, "So run I, and so fight I." And he was describing athletic prowess and pursuit, but applying it to the spiritual realm. He said, "I'm running, I'm fighting, and it's not going to be for a prize that perishes, for a prize that's just going to be forgotten in a few short years." Praise God, the power of the Lord is going to be manifest. So physical strength for fishing. Fishing is starting to really become a participant sport now, and commercial fishing, of course, and the dip netting and all of the aspects of fishing. You've got to be strong enough to stay with it, because dip netting is a lot of fun. Filleting, not so much. And then smoking them and canning them, the joy drops even more. But when you open a jar in January and have some fish spread, wow, you're really glad you had the strength to keep going. Amen. And no matter what job you're doing, and of course the hot dog stands stay open a long time, Wednesday market and different events and so on, long hours, you got to have the strength to stay with it. Both physical and mental strain is multiplied there. But keep going, keep going. And then we get to the spiritual, the most important. Galatians 6 and 9 tells us, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." Sometimes that can become an area where you feel a little exhausted. "For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now, have you heard the devil's version of that? The devil's translation is, "Be weary in well-doing, for you shall faint in due season if you reap not." But we don't believe the devil's version. We want the Lord's version, and we'll continue on working in his kingdom, because the results are wonderful to see here and now, but remember, the results are eternal. Amen. Now, I want to spend some time looking at Samson. There are a lot of characters in the scripture that you can emulate, you can copy, you can imitate, and you can try to follow in their footsteps. There are some that you learn lessons of what not to do. And Samson obviously falls in that category. Strong. And able, you've got to be strong to carry off the gates of the city, put them up on the hill. That's pretty incredible. To kill a lion, to kill 1,000 Philistines, the enemy of the Israelites. And then he ended his life destroying the arena with thousands of his enemies there. So displays of strength were... Yes, he definitely was strong. But in examples of what not to do, we find him establishing wrong priorities, wrong associations, making wrong choices. And so we want the strength, but not the direction that he went. So we're going to look at a few lessons from Samson. First, discipline your desires. Discipline your desires. Make wise decisions. And base those decisions on principle, not pleasure. Now, It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So he's not going to deny you pleasure. However, we recognize the devil, the world, the flesh, all clamoring for you to move into a realm of sin for your pleasures. And that's where we say, no, principle has got to take place of pleasure. And we, again, make choices based on conviction, not on convenience. Convenience is one of those areas of situational ethics. If the situation allows for you to do something you wouldn't ordinarily do, go ahead. It's okay. The situation allows for it. I had a pastor one time, another denomination. I asked him about his language, and he said, well, if it helps me to get my point across to say blankety blank and blankety blank, that's what I'll do. Well, I'm glad I don't go to that church. But even good things taken to the extreme can work against you. It can sap your strength. Too much food. There's hot weather. Most of the time you don't eat big meals, but I guess it's okay. What else could be a problem? Too much sleep. That's kind of fun. But too much sleep can sap your strength. Too much money can become a problem because your possessions start to possess you rather than the other way around. Here's a verse in Galatians 6, 7 and 8 that reminds us very directly on the aspect of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Don't be misled. This is the Living Bible version of it. Remember, you can't ignore God and get away with it. A man will always reap just the kind of crop he sows. If he sows to please his own wrong desires, he will be planting seeds of evil, and he will surely reap a harvest of spiritual decay and death. Well, that paints a picture of things that are not going to turn out well based on wrong decisions. And so it's important not to ignore the warning. Be not deceived. Because that's certainly the devil's purpose. That's certainly the way that he's going to approach the whole situation, is by means of deception. And so that verse starts out in the King James, be not deceived. Don't ignore that warning. Move on to do the work of the Lord. Samson, however, lived to please himself. That's probably the summation of his life that would fit very appropriately. In three different chapters, he developed relationships with three different women. Just seemed like he was moving ahead. I've heard him called a he-man with a she weakness. I don't know if the pronouns would fit correctly there according to our woke agenda, but fiddle faddle. His parents warned him, but he did what he wanted. And he would fit right in today's culture of self-indulgence. And there used to be the saying, if it feels good, do it. Well, I'm thankful the Lord helps us to feel good, and we need to continue doing his work, amen, and following after him. If Brother Aaron, if you would put up 1 Peter 4 and 2 in the NLT, 1 Peter 4 and 2, Peter admonishes us to get the attitude of Christ, have the Lord's attitude, and the scriptures say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so we get the attitude of the Lord, and Peter writes in the NLT, you won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. Not anxious in a worried sense, not anxious in a nervous sense, but anxious in anticipation and with desire. This is my focus. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to live. Praise God. So discipline desires. Samson didn't do that. The second thing is restrain your reactions. Restrain your reactions. Because of his great strength, Samson was able to bring vengeance on those that he perceived did him wrong. And he did have the enemies. But his resentment led to anger. And had he been a little more self-controlled, he may not have reacted so violently as he did. Remember, he made a bet about that the riddle after killing the lion. And the men that he bet with forced his girlfriend or wife or whatever she was at the time. He had those three in a row, and they forced her to give the answer. And so he killed 30 men to get even. Getting even was his focus. And he married a wife, and he went back to be with his mom and dad, and then he came back to his in-laws and wanted to see his wife. But his father-in-law said, I thought you left, I thought you didn't want her. I gave her to another. So, in Judges 15:3, Samson said to them, "This time I have a right to get even with the Philistines, and I will really harm them." He actually uses the words "get even." This is when he caught 300 foxes. Now that's no small task. And then tying their tails together and putting a firebrand between them and sending them out in the crops so that all the crops get burned up. And it wasn't just one, it was several. My goodness, that must have been quite a fire. And he was getting even. And the Philistines decided to get even with him. And since it was fire that he used, they did likewise. They burned his father-in-law and his wife. And what a difficult thing. But Samson said again, "Since you did this, I won't stop until I pay you back." And that's the New Century Version of verse 7 of Judges 15. "I'll pay you back. I'll do to you what you did to me." Does that sound familiar? Well, it's the golden rule in reverse. Judges 15:11. Here's Samson's words. "As they did unto me, so have I done unto them." And that's not what Jesus said in Luke 6:31. It's the reverse. So resentment, maybe, you know, paybacks may be satisfying to to your flesh to a certain degree, but it's just going to keep, like a stone rolling down the hill, it's just going to keep gathering momentum and just continue crashing into things and making a mess. It's hard to hold on to grudges and do the will of God. It really is. You're going to stumble. You're going to be like, you know, pulling a ball and chain behind you. So you ask the Lord to help you get rid of resentment. And Hebrews 12:15. I think, Brother Aaron, we have the Amplified Classic, right? Amplified C. Okay, could you put that up? Hebrews 12:15. It's pretty long. They really amplified it this time. Exercise foresight and be on the watch to look after one another, to see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace. Remember, His grace is unmerited favor and spiritual blessing. In order that no root of resentment, the King James says bitterness, no rancor, no bitterness, no hatred, shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and the many become contaminated and defiled by it. See, it spreads. It starts to affect others. That's the problem with it. And the King James Version, of course, is very simple. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So let God help you with resentment. And sometimes we might think, oh, He's just going to tell me to forgive. He's just going to tell me to forgive so that I can be forgiven. And true, Jesus emphasized that. Paul emphasized it. It's in the Word of God again and again. But it's tough sometimes to truly follow. How am I going to do that? Well, I think a key is the fruit of the Spirit. Brother Aaron, Galatians 5, 22-23 in the NLT. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Which of those nine does not lend itself to forgiveness? Any of them? Can we say that all nine of the fruit of the Spirit tends towards forgiveness? So, that's how the Lord helps you forgive, is to get more of the fruit of the Spirit, to manifest His fruit. Now, fruit is, these nine fruit are not a checklist. Oh, I got love, I got joy, got peace. It's fruit that He puts within you. Otherwise, it's just your efforts. And your efforts are good. Praise God. We'll pat you on the back. But in order to really overcome the things that we face and we're up against, you've got to have Him. Got to have the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, so that forgiving is part of what you can do. Otherwise, your old flesh is going to just chew on that and just revisit it and go over it and over it. And we're all that way. That's the way we're made. So, John 15 and 5, Jesus teaching about the vine and us being the branches, He said, "He that abideth in me, and I in him." See, we can stop right there and recognize the aspect of life, of power, of being, and knowing that abiding in Him and He in us is the way fruit is going to be produced. That's what He goes on to say. The same bringeth forth much fruit. And then the final statement is very powerful. For without me, you can do nothing. And so, the fruit of the Spirit, that aspect that is going to manifest Him rather than us, and abiding with Him is what we've got to do. And, you know, it's interesting that we look to spend eternity with Him, but we don't spend much time with Him. Facebook instead of seeking His face. Texting instead of spending time in the text. So, bearing spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit is what we can do through Him. Without Him, you can do nothing. Let's flip that. With Him, you can do everything. And that's how Paul said it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, in the context, he's talking about getting by. He's talking about, I know how to be abased. I know how to be exalted. I know how to live wherever I am. That's the context. But we can put it into every situation that we face, because that's abiding in Him. Amen. Not taking a break, time out, like Samson did, and go and satisfy his flesh. No, we're going to walk in the hand of the Lord and His blessings. The third thing is, keep your commitments. Keep your commitments. Samson had a commitment, and that's where his strength was. Carelessness is dangerous. No matter if it's in relationships, no matter if it's in time, no matter if it's with money, carelessness can really cost. And that's what we've got to be on guard against. Samson, however, continually compromised his commitments. And we know how the story ends. He toyed with temptations. It was almost like he was trying to get as close to the edge as he could get without falling off, or as close to the fire as he could without getting burned. It's almost as if he was making a game out of it. But eventually, we know didn't turn out so good. His strength was a gift from God. And had he maintained that consecration, that commitment, things would have turned out so much better. But Delilah was bribed to find the secret of his strength. And the amount of the bribe was pretty substantial. And so she went to work. She just kept badgering him. And, one of those times when she cried out, "Samson, the Philistines be upon thee." And here they come rushing into her chamber. And Samson's going to duke it out with them and come out the victor. One time would be all it would take to say, "This is not working. This is not good." But three times. And then she pressed him daily. And the second time he fell asleep on her lap, he'd given away his secret. And the sleep was so sound, he didn't feel them shaving his head. But the cry went out, "Samson, the Philistines be upon thee." He shook himself. He thought, "I'm taking care of business just like I did the other time." But the sad, sad statement, "He wist not that the spirit was departed." He didn't even know. Asleep. And asleep in those circumstances, that's really a poor thing. His inability to keep his commitments caused great loss, terrible loss. And the consequences were devastating. He lost his power. He lost his potential. He lost his eyesight. He lost his freedom. Oh, my. Even one of those things would be a terrific loss. But he lost everything. Do you agree with this statement? You are only as strong spiritually as your weakest commitment. Your weakest commitment, it kind of sounds like that weakest link thing, doesn't it? Your weakest commitment determines your spiritual strength. So I got to look at all my commitments to my wife, my commitments to my family, my commitments to my church, my commitments to the Lord, obviously, overall, because He's going to help me fulfill all the other commitments. But my commitments, I've got to make sure I'm keeping them with the Lord's help. And thank God, That's what he's able to do. And Samson repented and recommitted in prison. I just can't imagine what went through his mind as he's walking in circles there like a common animal, operating the grindstone, the mill, day after day, over and over. He can't see. Somebody's got to put the food in front of him and put his hands on the plate and on the cup and so on. He's got to be led to his quarters, led to the bathroom, the whole thing. I suppose eventually, in his blind state, he was able to count steps and know when to turn and feel and so on. But what a sad, sad ending to such tremendous potential. But thank God for a second chance. Amen. God heard his prayer and allowed his revenge on his enemies. It's been said, not every day do you get a second chance, much less a second chance every day. But God, amen, thank the Lord, we serve a God of second chances. However, the grace of God is to keep you from abusing those second chances. The grace of God teaches us that we can live godly and righteously in this present world. Paul wrote that in his world to Titus, and we look at it in our world with the media and the internet and all of the crazy stuff that's going on in the social fabric of our world. But the Word of God says, you can. Amen. And thank the Lord we can be overcomers. So we don't want to get the attitude of, well, God will give me a second chance. Well, God will overlook it. God will forgive. God's love, God's grace, and so on. No, he wants you to be an overcomer. He wants you to be victorious. He doesn't want you to be a slave to sin. He wants spiritual strength. Praise God. Now, in the natural, we need food, we need rest, we need water, we need nutrients, we need vitamins, all the things that, that we need. Spiritual strength is no different. We partake of the bread of life, and we have spiritual sustenance. We draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. Praise God. I'm glad that Isaiah 12 and 3 is what we can rejoice in and know the power of God that's there. He gives rest and refreshing. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Praise God. We've got to stop and do that. Can't just go charging ahead here day after day and feel like we're going to make it. No, that Acts 3 and 19 is a beautiful promise. Repent and be converted. Times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Praise God. And I'm thankful that that's the blessing and the power that the Lord provides for us. So let me share a few scriptures that came to my mind as I was considering rest. Well, let me ask you, what verse of scripture do you go to when you need to remind yourself about strength, and you need to receive strength? You need to have the power of God. It's a good time to share your key verse anyway. Some of you probably have a key verse to finish up the year with, and I shared mine with you, that 2 Corinthians 9:11, that God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you, always having all grace, may abound unto every good work. Praise God. I'm holding on to that, because that's strength. That's where I receive strength. Amen. All right, so if you have a favorite scripture that reminds you of strength coming from the Lord, or how you can access that strength, how you can be encouraged, how you can be uplifted, I've got four or five here, and we may duplicate, but I thought, well, we'll just spend a minute or two here and having you share. Anybody? Brother Mike?
All of Psalms 91 and then Psalms 27, but then Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength.
So trust is there twice in that verse?
Yes, sir.
All right. So there's an obvious awareness of the trust. Have you ever do that silly thing of trust, where you're standing on the edge, and there are six people who are going to catch you, and you turn around and you just fall backwards, because you trust they're going to be there, with their arms. Nobody's ever done that. Oh, what thrills you've missed out on. Let's do it right now. Tom, get up here. We'll see how much Brother Tom trusts us. Sister Kristen, you've done it? Okay, probably one of those ridiculous school in-services, huh? Oh. So anyway, trust and the strength that's there. Okay, any other verses? Brother Norm. Okay. Renew. Very good. And what else? All right. Notice the shalls. Are there four of them? Okay. Four. That was my first one that I was going to share with you. Renew their strength. How? Waiting on the Lord. And then the shall. Not maybe, not perhaps, not should, shall. Praise God. There again, we're trusting that God's word is going to come to pass. And we've experienced it so many times before. Just keep on. Praise God. But there's got to be that time out. Time out. I've got to go and wait on the Lord. Amen. Brother Mike.
Of course, the most important one is Isaiah 28:11-12.
Mm-hmm.
And that's talking about the Holy Ghost. For stammering lips, another tongue, will speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing.
And that last statement really puzzles me. They wouldn't hear. What? They rejected it? They turned aside from it? Why? Rest and refreshing. And by the way, Paul quotes that in 1 Corinthians 14. So we know that, you know, that has a dual application to the power of the Spirit. Melissa. All right. Amen. God so loved that he gave. He loved and he gave. Amen. And I thank the Lord. Because everlasting life is the result. And that's what that's what we call our blessed hope. That's where we're headed. That's what we desire. Praise God. And I thank the Lord for it. All right, Sister Beck.
Isaiah 41:10 says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand.
All right. Two I ams and three I wills. That's my second verse that I had down here. Be not afraid, be not dismayed. Some things he tells you don't do or don't be. And then he moves us into the positive and the power there that we're able to receive. Praise God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. And praise God. That's You know, praying these verses is really important. Lord, I need your strength. Lord, I need you to help me. Lord, I need you to uphold me. I'm hurting right now, God. I'm weak. I need your strength. You know, pray those verses. You talk about praying the will of God. You're praying the Bible. That's where you can receive strength. Amen. Sister Megan. Mercy and grace, what a combination. Praise God. And the boldness to enter the throne room. You know, we look at Esther, some of the other that terrible example of Herodias. But they were in the throne room. They were welcomed there. They belonged there. And you belong in the throne room. Praise God. And you come boldly before the throne of grace. Obtain mercy. Find grace to help. When? Time of need. Praise God. And thank the Lord. Yes, brother. Amen. Amen. And thank God that there isn't, you know, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. That sorrow is the world's doing. It's the devil's work. But I thank God for the joy that the Lord brings to us in his strength and in his goodness. All right, good verses. Got some more? All right, while you're thinking, I'll go to Judges 1 and 9. And have not I commanded thee, or this may be Joshua, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He starts out, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. That's his command. And thank God we can follow it. Be not, and be not dismayed. Again, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. Amen. And Colossians 1:11. Unless somebody else has one to share. Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all might. According to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. There's the fruit of the Spirit again. The fruit of the Spirit is going to enable you to endure. And that being strengthened with all might, his glorious power. Praise God. And that's, again, oh God, I need to be strengthened with your might. I need your glorious power. Help me, Lord, with patience, with long suffering, with joyfulness. Pray those. Amen. It's okay to pray with your eyes open, reading the Bible. And be able to pray what the Word of God says. Finally, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that's not as final as it sounds, because he goes on and describes the spiritual armor. And don't leave out praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Sometimes we leave that off of the spiritual armor. No, it's vital. It probably is how all the rest of the armor operates, is praying in the Spirit. But finally, he declares, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Thank God that's how we're able to be more than conquerors, through him that loved us. That's how we can do it. Praise God. Because that power is what he wants displayed in our lives. You know, what did the Lord leave you here for? After you spoke in tongues for the first time, and you came up out of the water after having the name of Jesus Christ called over you, why didn't he just take you out of here? Why didn't he just say, okay, I don't want to take a chance on them backsliding. I don't want to take a chance on them growing cold or unbelieving or being afraid or dismayed, you know, some of these things that we read about here in these strengthening scriptures. He left you here because he needs you as an example of overcoming. And so that you can be a witness to the world around you. Because the world around you is hurting. Oh my goodness. It's amazing. It's incredible. Any of you see the news item of the man who baptized 4,500 people in California? That just happened. 4,500 people were baptized. I wish they were baptized the right way. I didn't say which way they were baptized, but I can imagine. A denominational church put it out on social media. We're going to have a baptism and meet at Paradise Cove, Pirates Cove, wherever that is in California. And 4,500 people. Does that indicate that there are people who are looking for something from God? That there are people who are wanting something from the Lord? They're not all going with this stupidity that's in society, in some segments of society. They're looking for something spiritual, something powerful. And the way you live, as you get the strength from God, is going to be the example. Amen. Amen. Because they're watching. They're looking. And there are people who are searching. You know, that Ethiopian reading the scriptures, and I'm impressed with him. He not only has ability with numbers and managing finances for the kingdom, but he also can read either Hebrew or Greek, because that's the scroll that he has. And he's reading. And Philip comes huffing and puffing up to him and can hear him reading. All you would hear me doing is gasping for breath. But he hears him reading. Understandest thou what thou readest? How can I? Except some man guide me. There are people in the scriptures today who don't know what they're reading. And they close the book because it's a puzzle or a mystery to them. And they need you to tell them what it is. Aquila and Priscilla expounding to Apollos the way of God more perfectly. Praise God. Takes time to do that, doesn't it? You've got to make time. Amen. Make the time to do that. And again, the results are eternal. Praise God. And the waters are ready. Well, not quite. We'll fill it up. Praise God. Amen. And I thought about putting cold water in there, Brother Merle, with some ice cubes floating and a fan blowing behind me. Oh, man, that would feel so good. But we can't baptize that way, so we'll do it with hot water. Praise God. And we'll see him get filled with the Holy Ghost. Because that's God's promise. That's God's word. Amen. And he loves to fulfill his word. The key word there, Mike, in your verse, trust. I've got to trust. Amen. Stand with me, please. Amen. You know what I'd like for us to do? I'd like for us to come and just practice praying these verses. If you need to leaf through your Bible and be able to pray what the scriptures say, oh God, renew my strength as I wait on you, Lord. Let me mount up with wings as eagles. Help me to run and not be weary. Help me to walk and not faint. Praise God. But I want us to pray those. Whatever verse is something that you enjoy, something that you consider special, and it means something powerful to you. That's what I want us to do. I just want us to pray those verses and trust God that He's going to bring that strength to us. As oh my, it's easy to get run down. It's easy to get worn out. It's easy to feel like we're lacking strength. And, you know, we definitely don't want to make the mistakes of Samson. But we want to keep on, praise God, disciplining our desires, restraining our reactions, keeping our commitments. In the name of Jesus Christ, let's go ahead and pray as the music is playing.